Hello and welcome to another edition of the Guardian ID podcast. This is Zach Martin, editor of the Guardian ID magazine. Today we're continuing our identity standard series, speaking with Joni Brennan, managing director of the Qatar Initiative, overseeing the organization's interoperability certification and identity assurance programs. But before we dive in, first a word from our sponsor.
Whether you are protecting a critical infrastructure or vital information, or securing a facility or border, you need to answer the same question. In the modern world of identities, how do you establish with absolute certainty that someone is who they claim to be? At CSC, we understand that the heart of identity management is the creation of trusted identities. For more information, go to csc.com/identity management. CSC, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
There is an increasing importance in identification and verifying online identity. With a number of different standards out there, it can be difficult to keep them straight. In our previous podcast, we spoke with J. Trent Adams, chair of the Qatar Initiative Leadership Council, about the organization's effort with ID standards. Today, we're going to talk to Joni about Qatar's certification program and what that's doing and what that's all about. Thanks for joining us today, Joni.
Hey, thanks, Zach.
So, Joni, I just kind of want to start out. What is Qatar doing with the certification program? What it's all about? How can people get involved, or what can people do to be involved with the certification program?
Sure. We have two programs, one of them is interoperability certification, which is very technical. This is where the technical people go. This is a certification of specific specifications against each other for interoperability. And then we also have the Identity Assurance Certification and Accreditation Program, which is more on the side of what we call organizational interoperability.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give a kind of a example of what the difference is between the two of those. So technical interoperability is getting into the pipes and the technical bits to make sure that the different implementations and tools work together so that the market and the community can easily deploy technical solutions. And that's what our interoperability program does. And we have are building on a success of our contributed interoperability program from the Liberty Alliance previously, who had done extensive work in SAML 2.0 interoperability testing, and they have since donated the summation of that program into the Qatar Initiative. So we continue on in the Qatar Initiative certifying interoperability for SAML 2.0, but what's different moving forward in the Qatar Initiative is that we're broadening the scope to also develop interoperability tests for OpenID, information card, potentially sections, parts of the WS stack, WS security, WS trust. So the takeaway there is that we're building on previous experience in SAML 2.0 and really trying to expand that and to bring greater value to the market through interoperability. So that's kind of the technical interoperability side. And then when you get into what we're calling organizational interoperability, this is where the Qatar Initiative's Identity Assurance Framework comes into the picture. And the Identity Assurance Framework is basically a collection of documents to form a stack that outlines what we call what's known as the four levels of assurance. So, for example, at a very low level of assurance, which is called assurance level one, this might be something like subscribing to a news service or something. And then the levels of assurance basically help us to define what the levels of risk are, what types of security measures on a policy side should be applied within that organization in order to build trust. So that goes up from starting at something as simple as subscribing to a new service, which is pretty low level, to something like a $1 million plus wire money wire transaction, or say the dispensation of a controlled drug, where those examples would be at the highest level of assurance. So they need higher levels of criteria applied to them in order to ensure trust for the parties involved. So when I say the parties involved, I think it would be helpful to identify what those parties are. And so basically you have an end user. So this is the kind of person or entity that's interacting with such a service. You have a credential service provider, which could also be used interchangeably with identity service provider or IDP, so CSP and IDP. So these are the entities that provide credentials for the end user and the entity to use when they interact with the services. Then we have relying parties, and so these are all the different parties who have agreed to trust each other, trust within the credentials that they're using, trust in the credentials that the credential service provider and the IDP is providing, so that they can form what we call in the Kintaro world a circle of trust. And then we also have federation operators who are kind of, sometimes you need a central entity to kind of be the party in the middle of the circle of trust, kind of with information passing through them and kind of managing, helping the relying parties to manage the work that they're doing. So we also have federation operators. So these are kind of the main parties who would benefit from the adoption of the identity assurance framework. And the benefit there is trust, really, at the end of the day. It's about how can we're all using the Internet, we're all using services, we're all using it more and more, arguably, every day. So in order to ensure the success of the services and the satisfaction of the people or entities using the services, you really have to build trust. And so our main goal here is to help build trust in within the community and within those markets. So those are the parties involved. And so what we're doing on the Kintaro initiative side for the identity assurance accreditation and certification is running a program that really certifies on an operational level what the service provider and what the entities that are providing these services, how secure, what policies are they applying, what are their business practices, so that when relying parties are seeking to work together, or end users are seeking to take part in these services, if it's been certified by a program, then you can say, okay, I trust this more because I know that someone with perhaps more knowledge than myself has gone in and reviewed and made sure and granted a trust mark against this credential service provider or against this identity IDP identity provider. So that's what we do. And through that, the program is really targeted with the main goal to provide trust for everyone, however, but the program is targeted to credential service providers and to identity providers, so that's one bucket. And the second bucket is to auditors or assessors who would then assess services. So we offer two types of organizational or operational interoperability against policy, and it's for those two groups. It's for the credential service providers and the identity providers, and then the other one for the auditors and assessors. Once you have accredited auditors, Kintaro Initiative accredited assessors, those assessors are the entities that actually carry out the certification on the credential service providers. So it's basically building an ecosystem where we certify the assessors And then the assessors go out and do the actual assessments or audits of the different credential service providers or identity providers. And when they do their assessment, they provide a report back to the Kintyre Initiative Assurance Review Board, which also goes eventually up to the Board of Trustees. And so that report says what their findings were, again, against the Identity Assurance Framework service assessment criteria. Did the service meet the criteria? Did it not meet the criteria? Can we grant the mark? And so the accredited assessors create what's called a Kintyre assessment report, and that's basically a recommendation to the ARB and to the Kintyre board as to whether a service should be certified. In this way, are trying to build an ecosystem of trust where Kintyre Initiative is involved in providing the certification and fostering the trust and the interoperability at the organizational level. So that's a bit of the details about the certification program, who should be involved, and what kind of benefits that we strive to bring to the community. And something I should also mention, which I probably could have mentioned at the top, but I'll mention it now. The difference between the Kintyre Initiative Identity Assurance Certification Program and some other programs in the community is that we are really at the organizational level, and so at the operational level. And so what that means, if you kind of take the alternative, is that our framework is technology agnostic. Mm-hmm. And so when we say technology agnostic, we just mean that we do not specify in the identity assurance, or the identity assurance framework does not specify any type of specific protocol. There's no call out of specific protocol that must be used. And so that's, I think, a real benefit, because it's not about certifying the technology. It's about certifying the business practices and the operational practices of entities and organizations. So if an entity out there has already used, I don't know, SAML, OpenID combination, or, you know, different multi-protocol-based solutions, that's okay, because this framework is really built around the policies and best practices and the operational best practices of entities. So that's where we bring in the trust, is on the operational side and not on the technology side as far as the identity assurance framework covers. Where we do cover the technical side is back in the interoperability certification program. And in that program, we build trust by certifying things like SAML 2.0. And like I said, we're growing our program, so we're trying to expand through OpenID, Information Card, WS Stack. So it's within the interoperability program where the technical stuff happens, the technical certification occurs. It's within the identity assurance framework where the operational interoperability occurs. So we're working to build trust from both sides of the picture, both on the technical side and on the operational side.
Eventually, there's going to be some third-party private organization that's going to be able to offer credentials to people, and, you know, it's going to need some sort of certification, and you guys are going to be the ones that do that certification. And I'm sure there's corporations or other organizations that want to also have, you know, some sort of identity assurance framework in place for, you know, their employees or whatnot. Are you guys, I'm trying to get an idea, are you guys busy? Is this something that you're seeing a lot of activity around, or have I completely misinterpreted what you just said?
No. We've seen a lot of activity. So if that's how you've interpreted it, then you're correct.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of activity, and we've seen a lot of interest. This is kind of the next level. It's kind of actually here now, and this is about really building the trust. And we've seen lots of interest from different entities, from different organizations, particular interest from different governments. This framework and this program has garnered a lot of interest in different governments at different levels. Speaking of that, the Kintyre Initiative has also been approved as a trust framework provider of the United States government, and that's through the Identity Credential and Access Management Team, sometimes called ICAM for short. So ICAM has approved Kintyre Initiative at levels 1, 2, and 3 non-crypto. And basically, usually the follow-on question there is, okay, well, then why not crypto or why not level 4? And the reason is because the ICAM team is still working on their own internal requirements in that area. So they're not really approving any organizations at the crypto level or at the level 4 assurance. So it's basically we've kind of got to wait for some pieces of work to align on both sides before anyone can move further in that program. But the Kintyre Initiative has been adopted at levels 1, 2, and 3 non-crypto, and what that means is that by certifying, gaining the trust mark in the Kintyre Initiative Identity Assurance Framework Program, or on the technical side against the what's called the eGov SAML profile, you're in a sense blessed in order to take part in U.S. government services or apply to become a service provider for the government. So it's basically the government through the Obama administration Open Identity Initiative, I think is the title, initiative has said, okay, well, we realize that we can't do this all on our own. Electronic identity is here and it's now, and all of this information is flying across the internet. So instead of trying to rebuild the wheel ourselves with something that might never get traction widely, we should leverage what's going on in those communities and put it to use and put it to work for the government. And so that's what they've been doing, and that's the program that we're taking part in. So we are a part of that with some of our peers, like the Open Identity Exchange as well. There's a lot of interest. And you know, it's also worth to mention there is a community out here in the identity space, and there's a community not just of Kintyre Initiative or of Information Card Fund. There's a community of all these different entities that are all working toward the same or similar goals, which is, you know, to build trust in these transactions and in these identity-based services. So we're not alone here, and there are others who are also working on this stuff, and we're also working toward an interoperability demo at Burton Catalyst in July, and there we've partnered with OIX, the Open ID Exchange, and Information Card Foundation, Open ID Foundation, Identity Commons, and In Common, to all work together to kind of build some of these first implementations that would basically kind of capture the certification information and provide metadata in real time to different relying parties or entities that were subscribed to those services. So the Kintyre Initiative has the goal of helping to harmonize currently existing and developing standards, so that where we have duplicative work, we can really work together and leverage that work. So as a part of that mission and that goal, we are very committed to working with others to bring success for all of us.
Great. When it comes to the technical interoperability side, are you guys making sure that, you know, that different iCard formats are interoperable, or are you making sure that iCard and OpenID are interoperable, or what's the focus on that side of things?
The focus on that side of things is, so let me just take a quick step back. We have our first major interoperability event coming in September. I believe it's September 20th to November 5th. It's a long test. It's full matrix, so there are many participants. And that's on the SAML side, and that test is very well developed and robust. When it comes to the OpenID and Information Card and WS Stack and others, we're kind of in a bit of new territory. So we're looking at certification for those components, not at the full matrix level, but still a measure of certification. And basically, Yes, we're working to include open information card. We're working on scenarios. Would we be testing them against each other or against pieces within their own stack? So those tests are still quite a bit in the development stage. Sure. And we're also very open to we want to provide a service that works for the community. We want to provide a service, an interoperability program service that is going to benefit the community. So if the community has feedback as to, you shouldn't test that, but you should test this instead, we're open to that kind of feedback, and we're in kind of development stage now. So that's the kind of feedback that we like to hear.